have a takeout this morning on the new effort among Wall Street firms to make money off unexpected things. For example, whistleblowers. A recently expanded IRS whistleblower program encourages private actors to take on sort of a bounty hunter role in alerting the tax agency to tax evaders. Informants receive then a share of the recovered tax dollars. So in the story that's in the New York Times, it turns out that in the past 3 years since the IRS constructed this program, they went from getting 80 tips to 500 tips a year. With us is Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Louise, explain to us, how do private equity firms and hedge funds make money off these whistleblowers?
Well, they're basically betting on which whistleblowers are right. So the whistleblowers go forward to the IRS, and if their tips pan out, they could get 15 to 30% of the money the government recovers. So if that's billions of dollars, we're talking about getting hundreds of millions of dollars. And so you've got these hedge funds and private equity firms who are going out, finding these whistleblowers and saying to them, you might not get that money from the IRS for several years. Do you need some money to live on right now? We'll give you money now. And if your tip pans out, we get, like, you know, a 65% cut of it. So it's a hefty
65% cut of their cut of
from
whatever the
government
IRS
money.
Recovers.
Right. So there's an example in here. There's a person, his name has not been released, but he has turned in a tip that would yield billions of dollars of recovery for the government. So that means he could get, you know, $300 million or something.
So it's right. Like a tip on a client, right?
It's a tip on a client or a tip on an employer. It could be a number of scenarios. And a private equity firm has paid him $4 million up front so that if he's right and the money gets recovered, they'll get, you know, lion's share of his recovery.
What I find interesting is that one of the things you guys point out in the paper is that one of the banks that is doing this is Credit Suisse. So people often think about hiding their money away in Switzerland. Well, they could be blowing the whistle on them.
Credit Suisse apparently has considered it. A spokeswoman told us that they're not doing it, but they've considered it. A very interesting case that will test this is, you know, there's a whistleblower behind the UBS case, and, you know, the government stands to recover possibly billions in that. But that whistleblower right now is in jail. Huh. And his lawyer is saying even though he's in jail for his role in it, he should be able to get the reward because he put the government on it. Another interesting thing here, I don't know if you saw, but there's an amendment that's been proposed for the financial reform bill.
That they're debating now, yeah.
Right. And this amendment says we've got to raise the whistleblower amounts for people on Wall Street for securities fraud. Because right now, a lot of people...
More incentives.
Right. A lot of people on Wall Street don't come forward and think about, you know, if you're on Wall Street, you think about the huge millions in bonuses you can get if you keep your head down and just toe the line. And so Senator Kaufman has come up with an amendment, although it's unlikely to be voted on, for raising whistleblower money on Wall Street.
Not a lot of appetite in Washington to give more money to
these institutions, though, maybe. I mean,
It could really change them if there was an upside for speaking up.
Exactly.
Yeah. Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times.
And now to our listeners who are talking about all sorts of things. Yesterday, we covered politics because there were primaries around the country. To some of our listeners, the results in the primaries showcased a shift in the political wind. In Pennsylvania, incumbent Arlen Specter lost his bid. Tea Party candidate Rand Paul won in Kentucky.
And parties on both sides are trying to frame what happened, from incumbents out to the Tea Party rises. What is your headline?
I'm Dave calling from New York City, and I think the only problem with the defeat of someone like Arlen Specter is that he was allowed to serve 30 years to begin with. All representatives and senators should be limited to 2 terms.
This is Kevin from Colorado, and I understand the desire for people wanting term limits, but, you know, I'd rather have my money invested in a company that's being run by a 20 or 30-year veteran, and I think the same holds true for government.
Interesting. We got a text from a listener in Palm Beach, Florida. Republicans increasingly marginalized as a right-wing party, so the headline goes, while Dems want their party back.
And Brian in Throckmorton, Texas, texts his headline, failings of the two-party system exposed. You can keep this conversation going. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or at thetakeaway.org, or you can text us like Brian in Texas by sending the word TAKE to 69866. You may be charged for that text message, but you'll get instructions on how to proceed from there.
You can live an entire life on thetakeaway.org. There's all kinds of things for you to do, and we've actually kind of raised the bar a little bit. We're asking you to be part of an experiment we're calling TMI in this 21st century, because in the Facebook, Twitter age, it's really easy to overshare private information. You have that problem all the time, right, Louise? sharing too much private information?
I hope I don't share too much. I am on Twitter, but I try to be appropriate in my amount.
Louise is the most guarded person, I think it's fair to say, we have on the program here. But here's what you do on the website, all right? Find a stranger on the internet, okay? Maybe it's on your Facebook page. Maybe they're a friend, but you have some connection to them, but they're basically a stranger. Maybe they're on Facebook or on Twitter. Ask them this question. What benefit do you get from sharing your information publicly? And we mean actually go find the person. Look at their profile. Look at their picture. Go find them. And you can find out more of what happened on our site, thetakeaway.org, if anyone's taken us up on the offer. But we sent Jim Colgan, our digital editor, to do exactly this. And he found some people hanging out in Washington Square Park. And one of them he matched to a picture from his Facebook site, Dave Tisch.
Is there anything you posted that you've regretted?
Huh. I don't think so. I mean, maybe way back when sharing started, I said some things on Twitter that I probably wouldn't say today.
What did you say?
No recollection of what they are.
Well, he doesn't regret it, even though he can't remember it. But listener Edna from New Jersey wrote into thetakeaway.org, "This experiment is hopefully a great expose of those potentially dangerous social networking sites. I don't worry about the grown man at the dog run. I fear for the 13-year-old girl at the mall who can be identified and found by any stranger or pedophile with Twitter or Facebook."
Well, part of the mission here is to empower people to understand what could be the result of their information. You got a feel there for Dave Tisch. Jim Colgan comes up to him and says, "Hi, I saw your picture." Exactly. So be a part of the experiment. Again, find a stranger on the internet. Actually, find them face to face and prove to them that you did it through their own private information that they shared online. And ask them this question if you find them, if they like don't pull out a wrench and whack you over the head. What benefit do you get from sharing your information publicly?
This is not an invitation to stalk.
Well, is it or not? What does private information invite people to do? That's really what we're after. Go to thetakeaway.org.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.